Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Lord, on this day set aside to honor and remember fathers, we give you thanks for our fathers. We pray that whether they are here with us now or with you, that you might bless them and keep them safe. In all of these things, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to say it. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Some of you have still biological fathers out there. Some of you have had grandfathers, uncles, stepfathers, or some other family member that stepped up when your biological father couldn't or wouldn't for whatever reason. The one thing that we all have in common is that we have this thing called memories, and hopefully we still have some good ones. Exodus 20:12 tells us, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is one of the many scriptures that tells us that we have to respect our parents, because it's one of the most important thing that there is to have honor for them. Although us men strive to be perfect, because of the human condition, we'll never make it there. But that doesn't mean that we can't try, because we only fail when we don't try. In 1972, President Richard Nixon signed a presidential proclamation to officially declare the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. This had been in the works for approximately 60 years, since 1906, I think it was. While in 1908, it was officially declared Mother's Day from day one, but I'm not gonna say anything about that. It took 60 years for men finally to do something and make things happen. But what is Father's Day? Father's Day is a day that is set aside to honor and remember those fathers who have been a vital role in every child's life. Now, I'm going to set the record straight. Any man can be a biological parent, but it takes a real man, a special man, to be there and do what needs to be done. Those are the people that deserve to be called dad, daddy, pop, papa, whatever you want to call them, that shows that you love them, if for no other reason than being there and trying their best. Amen? In the Holy Bible, we see that all Christians have a Heavenly Father who gives good and perfect gifts. He's righteous and loving. Now, that's the goal that we as men should always be striving to reach. Whether we fail or not, we strive. We attempt to reach that. No matter how good our dads are, they all have imperfections, because the Bible says that all have sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. You know it. There are some fathers who are mean, and some have ugly attitudes or behaviors. I'm not going to come here and argue and say that it's misconstrued, because it's true. Like I said, it's the human condition. And some people just don't adapt well to situations that they're placed in by accident, even worse, by their own choice. That doesn't mean that it has to be that way, though. Some fathers mean well, but they don't know how to express it, because they didn't have this thing called role models to learn from. But those, even those that didn't have role models, they try. They still try. But even those that didn't have role models, we all have a role model. They've had, and they still do, a Heavenly Father who cares for every man, woman, boy, and girl. To that end, we were given gifts by the Holy Ghost to help us do that. Even though there's no die-hard template, no written rule that tells you how to raise children, there is the first step to being a father and a real man is to accept your children for who they are. But let's not get it wrong. When they're doing wrong, it's our role as parents to chastise them, to put them back on the right path. Proverbs 22:6, Deuteronomy 11:19, Ephesians 6:4, and Psalm 78:6 are a few examples that tell us that that is something that we have to do. What's that? We have to raise our children respectfully. We have to raise them up right in order to continue on that path. See, men have a role model, or they have a responsibility to be a role model to their sons and other young men that we come across in this thing that's called life. We have to use the gifts that were given to us by the Holy Ghost and show love, compassion, tenderness, and understanding. And that's just to name a few things. Those are the traits that we all have. It's just that sometimes those traits have to be coaxed out. They have to be brought out and brought to the surface. And they have to be practiced. Not only in terms of raising children, but in terms of being there for your brother and sisters in Christ. All we have to do is trust in God, and we'll become a new person with a change of attitude and behavior. Our light will shine in our newness to everyone who crosses our path, and they'll see us as they've never seen us before, a beacon. God offers us a chance to turn away from our sins and to be better. In that case, to be a better man or be a better woman, and especially to be a better role model. Some of you may or may not remember intricate details of your father. I remember my father quite well. Although he passed away in 2007, I still remember him as if it was yesterday. My father was rough, gruff, but he was a quiet man. He had very few words, and during my early years, I only remember a man that left the house before I woke up in the morning to make sure he got to work on time, and a man that came home late at night after I was asleep. Of course, late at night was anytime after 8 o'clock. And during the week, I barely heard him or I barely saw him, unless I misbehaved. And then I saw him. I really saw him, with shock in my eyes. I remember one Saturday morning asking my mother, "Who's that in your bed?" Because my father was always on the move. I wasn't used to seeing him sitting still. He was always doing some form of work for friends or family during his off time and rarely had a moment to sit home and rest. My father was not an absentee father. He was not one of those people that show up on a Saturday morning with McDonald's, you know, grudging that having to come there for that. He was one of those men that was hardworking all the time, every day, every hour of the day, in order to provide for his family so that my mother could stay there and take care of me. Her sole job was to make sure that everything was right in the house that my father provided that she was behind the power of the throne, like I mentioned earlier. She was not somebody that was beneath my father. They were equal. But it was a time where she knew her role, and her role was to make sure that everything was good. Like I said, my father was a man of very few words. And he believed that golden rule, that if he had something to say, then he would try to get it in, or get it out, better yet, in as few words as possible. And you better be listening to what he said, because he was not the kind that liked to repeat himself. When I was 38 years old, 2 days later, my father passed away. That's why it's ingrained in my memory. He had been in intensive care for a week after having had a stroke. It was one of the saddest moments of my life. And some of y'all know that I have a few of those. But God is a great God. He's a great comforter, and he got me through it. I bear many scars of loss. But I also remember the love of those people that I've lost. And I hope that y'all do also. I remember a great many things of my father. I remember that I definitely didn't like some of the things he cooked, because he came from down south, and you'd be surprised what you eat. I remember that I didn't like the music that he listened to. But surprising enough, as I got older, I actually liked the music. Because it was music that told a story. It was music that told things about love, loss, family. You know, the good music that they don't make anymore. But what I really remember of him being was him being in his 80s and still putting that bit of fear in me. Now it's called fear. But a lot of y'all remember that in those days, it was called respect. Parents didn't let you slip now. I mean, then, like they do now. There was this fear that he would lay his hands upon me. And it was not the kind of blessing that I was looking forward to. See, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Back then, when BCW, at least that's what it was called then, it's called ACS now, wasn't a thought, because the parents did what they needed to do in order to keep you safe, to keep you in line, and to keep you respectful. See, I'm not advocating abuse or anything like that. I'm just saying that it was a different time, and there were different rules that parents lived by, and respect. And honor was a thing that was high up on the priority. See, I knew that my father loved me, and he expressed it the best way that he could as a single parent. He played both roles just like me. He was the father and the mother, because my mother had died approximately 26 years earlier when I was 12. He was a man that had to deal with a preteen that had just started smelling himself. Now, some of y'all may not know what that means, so I'll explain it to you. When you say somebody's smelling themselves, it means that they think they're grown and ain't nobody going to tell them what to do because they know better. They know more than you, even though they were born yesterday. Well, my father didn't have too many of those issues. I'm not going to lie, he had some. But they weren't too many. Let this man tell you something more than once, and you knew that you were going to be in trouble. He was a physical man. But I loved him. When I came in the house that afternoon after school when I was 12. This was a man who had been strong all his life, because men are taught you got to be strong. You can't have any emotions. You know, you can't let them see a moment of weakness. This was a man that had tears in his eyes. And I felt comforted by those tears. But look at the happy times. And that was a happy time because he was there comforting me. You should have seen the look on his face when I graduated high school, when I graduated college, when I got married, when I got the first job that had an actual union. I mean, it was DC 37, but it was still a union. He didn't know anything about the union or that union, but he was happy that I was in one. The only thing that mattered was union because of all the supposed benefits you get. I remember joking with him one time, or half joking with him, once Debbie had our kid, I would drop them off over there so he can take care of them. He gave me two short statements that he never repeated ever again. He said, "You'll take care of your kids like I did mine." And the famous one, "I'm not a babysitter." I didn't get a chance to test that because my earliest and oldest child was born in 2011, but I was going to put that to the test. This was a man who came from South Carolina after he had served in World War II, met and married his wife from Louisiana, moved to New York City, and then brought his whole family from a farming community to New York for a better life. This was a man that I was proud and still am proud to call my father. See, whatever our age, whatever our place in life is, our fathers always deserve to have our honor and respect. See, God gives us fathers as a gift, and he commands that we respect them. We need to try to focus on all of the positive things that our fathers have been in our lives. We have to realize that God has placed this person in our lives for a reason, and we have to be thankful for that. Not all fathers know what to do, but there are those that try to step up and do the best that they can do with what they have. Although we live in our day-to-day lives and we see many examples of those fathers that are like Johnny Appleseed. They're dropping children like seeds all around the place and then disappearing while they're leaving the woman to play both roles also as mother and father. What we really have to do is applaud those fathers who do what they have to do in order to give their children a chance in this world. And this is not a world that's a joke. It's a harsh world. See, I'm so proud when I see a man playing with his son, or just being there for the son to run to when he needs him for support, or being there when the son gets a boo-boo from falling on his bike or cutting his knee, or those moments when the son wants to learn how to do something. That's a role model that I can respect. A true father is always there for his children. He may not always be there when they want him to be there, but he'll always be there when they need him. Amen? I once saw a plaque that had the following inscription on it. "God didn't promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, nor sun without rain. But he did promise strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way. To me, that's what a true father stands for. And we as men should always strive to be that person. My beloved brothers and sisters, no matter who they are or what they've done, we have to take solace in the fact that there just might have been someone who cared enough to take on that father-like role in our lives and to be there in order to hopefully make our struggles just that little bit less painful. That's the kind of person that shouldn't go unnoticed, and it definitely shouldn't go unappreciated, especially today on this day that we call Father's Day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.